Hey guys, welcome to the channel. I'm so glad that you're here. You know, our mission at Faith is to lead people to Jesus and elevate their faith. I trust that today's sermon would strengthen your faith in God and elevate your confidence for the impossible. God bless you. Let's get into it.
Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Look into the Bible. Are you ready? Look on the screen. Let's read together. Now the boy Samuel, the who? The who? Samuel was a what? Samuel was a what? Samuel was a boy. All the boys in the house, put your hand up. Amen. I'm a boy. I don't know about you guys. I'm a boy. And tomorrow, I'm about to be another year old. Amen. But my God, I'm a growing boy. Amen. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Now, that's all good and nice. But let's look at the next part. And the word of the Lord was what? The word of the Lord was, look at the screen. Let's read together. The word of the Lord was rare. The word precious there in your King James, which you should be having a new King James, it will help you. Because you're thinking that the word of God was so nice and everybody enjoyed it. And when they look at it, they found delight in it. But it actually means that the word of God was rare. You see, if you're going to read King James, you're going to have to do a lot of study to understand what it's saying. So if you're going to have yourself a King James Bible, prepare yourself to study. But get yourself a new King James. It takes out, it keeps the poetry, but it brings it more clearer. Is that all right? Okay. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. So it was rare and also precious. It wasn't found. There was how much? No widespread revelation. Let's stop right there. No, we're stopping right there. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this word. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll speak to us today. I pray, mighty God, that you, oh God, would imprint on our hearts today. That God, when we leave here, we would cherish your word. We would cherish what it is you're saying. And we'll hear by your spirit. I pray, Holy Ghost, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. So it says here, the boy Samuel, what he did? He ministered to the Lord before Eli. So let's get the setting. This is in Shiloh. Many of us encountered Samuel, or we may have heard about Samuel because we knew about Hannah. Remember, Hannah went with barren. She could not have children. She was having a tough time getting pregnant, right? And she went to the temple and she cried out to God. And what happened in chapter 1:2? Amen. She cried out to God, begging God for a son. And she says, if I get a son, what will I do? I will give him back to the Lord. I will give him back to the Lord. So now we see Samuel is born. He's still a boy. He is still young. But he is where? In the house of God ministering. He's in the house of God what? Working. And he's working under the leadership of someone. He's working under the leadership of the priest, Eli. Right? And the Bible says here, it continues. And it says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Now, this is the total opposite of what God expected. This is absolutely contrary to the expectation of God. Now, let's back up a little bit. Let's go back to the book of Exodus. Remember, the people of God were in bondage. Where were they in bondage? In Egypt. They were there for 430 years. They were under oppression. But what did God do? He heard their cry and he what? Sent a deliverer. He brought them out of Egypt because he had made a promise to who? To Abraham. That his descendants will inhabit the land. So God fulfilled his side. He fulfilled his side of the bargain. And he gave them some instructions. And he said, when you go into the land, you must not what? Get caught up with the people in the land. You must not get caught up with the system. You must not join. Jesus said, you are in this world, but you are what? Not of this world. You're where? In the world. But you're what? Not of the world. But here we see there is a scarcity of the word of God. Who knows when there is scarcity? Desperation steps in right after that. People become desperate. Remember when toilet paper got scarce a couple weeks ago? Everybody's like, oh my God, I'm going to need to wipe my booty. Let me go get some more extra paper. Everybody was stocking up on toilet paper because you were afraid that when you go to the bathroom and you pull the roll, it was the last piece and you're going to have to wash. Gross. Thank you. So what were you doing? Seeking to stock up. But the total opposite happened in Israel. It says the word of God was rare. The word of God was nowhere to be found. The word of God was limited. And if there is an absence of the word, things will go wrong. Now, let's back up a little bit. Let's go to 1 Timothy 3:16. We want to prosper in truth. We can't just prosper the way the world prospers. Hello? We can't do it the way the world does it. We have to do it whose way? God's way. And if we're going to prosper as children of God, if you're going to have joy, if you're going to have peace, if you're going to have hope, if you're going to have a sound mind, you need the word of God. What it says, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God breathed. I want to amplify. Given by divine inspiration and is profitable for what? Instruction. So if you want to know how you ought to live, you need the, I said first, 2 Timothy, sorry. Right? 2 Timothy 3:16. You need the word of God to know how you ought to carry out your life. Amen? All scriptures God breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is what? Profitable. The word of God is good for us. It profits us. You know, sometimes we get deceived, and when it's time to read the Bible, we feel like we're being robbed from fun. We're being robbed from relaxation. And the word of God becomes a chore. The word of God becomes a burden. So that sometimes when you go to read, you start to fall asleep. Because we leave it for last. We leave it when we have nothing to do. But I want to tell you, the word of God will profit you. Meaning the word of God will benefit you. Hello? Somebody write that down. The word of God will benefit you. It will teach you how to live. It will give you instruction. It will give you guidance. It is good for conviction of sin. In those days, the word of God was what? Rare. So guess what was prevalent? If there is no word, there is sin in abundance. If the word of God is rare, sin will be leading in society. What else? For the correction. Oh my God. No, nobody wants to be corrected in church. Everybody wants the pastor to tell them, you're doing good. Keep doing what you're doing. But the word of God is what aligns us. Amen? The word of God aligns us for correction. When we're going wrong, it pulls us out of error. If there is not a standard, the world will come up and everyone will come up with their own standard. I said, if the church does not have a standard, you and I will come up with however, whenever, whatever. But this morning, I want to tell you, we are guided by the truth of God. And His word is truth. His word is truth. The word of God is truth. And that is what we're going to hinge our life on. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How we ought to behave. How we ought to carry out interactions with each other. How we ought to treat each other. How are you going to know how to do that? It's not by your neighbor. It's not by the system. It's not by the school. No, it is the word of God. So what it is, the word of God will profit us. All scripture is what? Given by God. Inspiration of the Lord. But in those days, there was no word. You think we're living in dark times today? Think about back then when they could not find the word of God. When there was nobody to preach it to them. There was no one because what? There was corruption in the system. Let me give you Joshua 1:7-8. It says, above all, be strong, very courageous. Be careful to observe what? All. Be observe what? To observe what? All the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. So that you may what? So that you may what? We all want to prosper. We all want to have a great life. We all want a successful life. We all want to be like Mike. Amen. To have our tithes quadruple. Amen. But what is he doing? He is observing the word of God. We don't want to obey the word, but we want the fruit of the word. We want the miracles of the Bible, but we don't want to obey the word. Samuel said to Saul, he said, to obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken or to listen and obey and carry it out is better than bringing a sacrifice. Are you tracking with me? Yes. So we need the word of God if we are going to prosper. And how are we going to prosper? Wherever we go. This word is so powerful. This word is like a pathfinder. Where there is no way, this word cuts way. I said, where there is no way, this word will cut a way for you. Because the Bible said, the word of God, it is quicker. And it is what? Powerful. It is what? Quick. Meaning it is active. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Meaning it's stronger than any artillery or weapon that man can come up with. The word of God will create room for you. And it will cause you to prosper. You think God wants us to have a prosperous life? God wants us to have a blessed life? God wants us to have a victorious life? God wants us to have the best life possible, but we have to cut the path, not by our own knowledge, nor by the knowledge of man, but by the what? Word of God. Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by what? How much? Every word that proceeds out from the mouth of God. God will make a way this morning. It said the book of the law must not depart from your mouth, but you must what? Meditate on it where? Day and night, so that you may be what? Careful to do everything written in it. For then you will what? Then you will what? Prosper. My God. Then you will prosper. You will prosper, and my God, you'll succeed in all that you do. We all want success, but you got to put the word of God first. You got to put the word of God. Let the word of God be your standard bearer. Don't come up with your own thing. Don't follow no 2-minute pastor on YouTube or TikTok or what all those stuff is. Man, sometimes we don't want to get into the word. We just want to hear somebody talk to us all the time. But no, we need to get into the word and meditate on the word. Don't want a quick fix. Get a permanent fix. I said, don't get a quick fix. Get a permanent fix. And the permanent fix is the word. It's the word. Because you can't know Jesus if you don't have the word. I said, you can't know Jesus if you don't have the word. You know, that's why on YouTube we got all these people cussing and saying, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. All these superstars that the world looks up to. They're going on all kinds of podcasts. They're saying all kinds of things. And then they say, if it wasn't for Jesus, and thank God that I'm saved. But they don't know him. No. There's a difference with getting saved, and then there's a getting to know. Yes. Hello? There's a difference with getting saved and getting to know. Yes. You can come here and see me, but you don't know me. Yes. You can come here and hear me preach, but you don't know me. It's the same way. You can get saved but don't know Jesus. You got it. Paul said that I may know him. That I may what? No, that I may what? No, that I may know, that I may have an exchange, that I may transact business with him. And that's what God wanted to do. God wanted to walk among Israel. God wanted to live among Israel. He said, I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be what? My people. Oh, Jesus. Let's go. Hallelujah. So what happened with Israel? They forgot all of that. And the Bible says in the book of Judges, it says, let me see my scripture, Judges 2:10. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not what? Know. Who did not what? Know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. God wanted to be their God, be their father. But now there was not a continuing of legacy. You see, God said to Abraham, he said, I know, in Genesis 18 and 19, he says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. He said what? For I know him, that he will command his children. God did not just pick Abraham because he was a nice man. But God knew Abraham's heart. God knew that Abraham was a man that will command his children and his household to obey God and to serve God. So he drew him out and he called him and he said, Abraham, come, leave your family behind. Leave everything behind and follow me, because I have a plan to what? Prosper you, and I'm gonna bless you. But because God saw Abraham's heart, that he would then take what God had given to him and then pass it on to his children. But now Israel was in a state where they did not know God, nor did they know the word of God. He said, for I know him, that he will command his children, his household after him, and that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken. Oh my God. That which he had spoken. Today, God is looking for people that would read the word to their children. God is looking for people that would tell them the stories of God's deliverance. God is looking for parents that will pray with their children. God is looking for us to raise up a godly legacy. You know, we all want to leave a rich legacy financially, and we want to give our children the best. But this morning, the Spirit of God is saying, it is time for us to prosper in the word. Give the children the word of God, because that is what will keep them. That is what will what? Keep them. That is what will preserve them. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word will light the way for our generations to come. It's what will keep them sane. Sane. So many people are suffering from mental illnesses and all kinds of illnesses. It's because they're not taking the Holy Ghost penicillin. They're not choking themselves with what matters. Thy word have I hid where? Deep in my heart, that I may not sin, or I may not become entangled with sinful things that will have a negative result. When your grandchildren come over to visit, don't only give them lollipop and give them candy. Say, sit down, let me tell you about Jesus. Sit down, let me sing a little song with you. Oh, can you come to Sunday school with me? Can I bring you to church on Sunday? Ask mommy if I could bring you to church. Ask daddy, say, can I bring them to the house of God that they may encounter the living Jesus, that they may have an exchange from the King of Kings, the one that created them, and the Lord of Lords. But God knew that he could trust Abraham. I want to ask you today, can God trust you to teach your children? Can God trust you to transfer what he has done in your heart onto the next generation? God knew who Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And everyone that bless you, I'm going to bless them. The covenant was so great. He said, I'm not going to forget your children. I'm not going to forget Abraham, Isaac. I'm not going to forget Jacob. Nor am I going to forget their descendants. All because I can trust you. Because you are a man that will command them in the way. You're a man that will teach them the word. If we're ever going to be prosperous as a church, we got to love the word of God. If we're going to prosper, hey, we got to learn to love God's word. Love the instructions of God and not look for things that would only stir up our emotion. You know, sometimes when there's an emotional service, everyone is locked in. When the praise is hot, everyone is locked in. When the worship is flowing, everyone is locked in. But when the word begins to preach, everybody starts sleeping. Everybody starts sleeping. Well, not everybody. Well, but you're looking at me, but you're not even connecting with what I'm saying. Because it is instruction. And we don't like instruction. We don't like when I tell you you're going wrong. And when the Holy Ghost is cutting, you sometimes distract yourself so you don't feel the cut. When the Holy Ghost is clipping you, you try to do something else. You turn your Bible and you start reading another scripture so that conviction does not work. And we wonder why there's no change and there's no transformation, because we refuse to submit ourselves to truth. But I want to charge you, church. I want, when God looks at me, he's going to say, I can trust you, Sam, because you will instruct my people in the way that they should go. You will instruct them. You will lead them to greener pastures. You will take them beside still waters. You will take them to a place that they can get restored. My God, and it is to the brooks of heaven. Deuteronomy 6:1 says, I'm building a platform and I'm going to preach hot for the next couple, 50 minutes, and we're going to be out at 12:45, but I'm building all the way there. Now, Deuteronomy 6, this is the commandment, that these are the statutes and judgment which the Lord your God has commanded to what? Teach you. To what?
Teach you.
To what?
Teach.
Why you send your kids to school? For them to be taught. But yet you come to the house of God and you want it your way. This is not Burger King. You could go to Burger King and have it your way over there. You could put lettuce when you want. You can put pickles if you want. You could say no salt on my fry. But when you come to the house of God, it's thus says the Lord, led by the Spirit of God, what the Holy Ghost is dishing, open your mouth and say, God, I'm here to eat. And God, it might make me feel uncomfortable, but I'm going to be changed, transformed, and I'm going to conform to the image of Christ. To teach you. That you may what? Observe. So when you're being taught, the next thing is to do something with it. Teaching is not to make you fat. But teaching is to mobilize you. Hello? Teaching mobilizes you. Just like how a lack of knowledge destroys you. Lack of knowledge destroys you. But when you know, you now have the ability to do. You have the ability to do. If you want to sleep, pinch yourself, you'll wake up. That you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. Imagine the children of Israel was going into a land. God was giving them a system to prosper them. And it was the word of God. If they had gone into that, well, we did see that eventually they forgot this. and they reap the result now where it was chaos. But God was trying to prevent chaos from coming their way. God was trying to prevent them from their enemies coming and subduing them and taking advantage of them. But here it says, when you go into the land, you're about to possess the land, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson. So that's why I said, grandparents, bring your grandkids to church. Stimulate them to love God and to serve God. What's in that bag? My God. Something to eat. All the days of your life, that your days may be what? Prolonged. What is the benefit of the word? The word gives you long life. Track with me. The word of God gives you long life. It prevents you from getting cut off. You know, a lot of people go on drugs and alcohol. What that does? Cuts your life off. You join a gang, you get shot early, the devil wipes you out. But if you will live by the word of God, your life will be what? Preserved. Your life will be preserved. You go and steal, you get caught, you get thrown in jail. What is that? It's not God's purpose for your life. No, your purpose gets snatched. So the word of God will what? Give us long life. That's prosperity. Yeah. Hello? The prosperity thing is a whole. Yeah. It's not just cha-ching. The world tells us that prosperity is money. Yes. But God wants us to have long life and to satisfy us. Yes. And for you to have an enjoyable life. In mind, all your days must be what? Enjoyable. My God. Verse 3. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be what? Well with you. It may be what? Well with you, and that you may multiply. Oh, Jesus. You know, the best thing could happen to a grandmother or grandfather is to see a lot of grandkids. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but my mom goes around and tells everyone she has 11 grandkids. She only got 3 children. But what she got? 11 or 12, Cher? How much grandkids she got? I think it's 11. She goes and tell everyone she has 11 grandchildren. What that makes her? Proud. What is that? Her legacy is multiplying. I want to tell you, change your perspective on children. Change your perspective. When you don't have to have money to give them. Give them love. A lot of kids, we give them money, we give them games, we give them that, but nobody talks to them. Nobody talks to them. Everybody is busy, too busy to talk to children. Why you think kids go haywire? Because nobody's instructing them. Nobody's telling them when they go wrong. All you're doing is hitting them over the head when it's too late. And the word of God says, too late shall be what? The cry. So if you start early, you're not going to have to cry. I'll say that again. Start early and you will not have to cry. Cut the cry, man. Teach them the word of God. That it may be well with you and you may multiply. How? Greatly. How are you going to multiply? Greatly. You're going to multiply like Mike. Greatly. Greatly. Big time. Because what? You are obeying God's way, God's principles, God's law. In the time we live in, nobody wants to hear about law, and nobody wants to hear about commands, and nobody wants to follow commands. No, everybody wants to do what they want to do, how they want to do what, when they want to do it. But today I want to tell you, it is a time that we get back and we obey the word of the Lord, and we will multiply greatly. We'll multiply how? Greatly. We'll multiply how? Greatly. Verse 7, he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Oh my God. I wonder when you sit in your house what you're talking about. When you're sitting in your house, what are you talking about? Food? When you're at the dinner table, only food you're talking about? You know, well, are you talking people's name? And you're talking people down? And you're talking how bad things are? And you're talking how hard life is? What is that you're planting in your children? Negative seed. But it says, when you sit in your house, you must talk about the word of God. You must talk of the goodness of God. You must set your children in a mindset of expectation of God coming true for them. And that God is a deliverer and he is a rewarder of those who will what? Diligently seek him. I want to tell you this week, write it down and say, I'm going to talk different. No, don't repeat it to me. I said, write it down. And say, when you sit in your house this week, you're going to have a constructive conversation around the word of God. You'll have a constructive conversation of the goodness of God. It says, when you walk by the way. So the word of God is not only for in your house. When you're going down the road, you could talk about God. Yes. You could saturate the atmosphere. You know, your word has power. When you speak word in an atmosphere, the demons around you got to respect. Okay, so whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, it is what? Loose in heaven. So when you're walking and you're going places, you can talk about God. Talk about God. Let the word of God be on your mouth. It says meditate on it so the word will come where? To your mouth. So you're going to talk about when you are walking. Oh my God, this tablet closed. No, it did not. Thank the Lord. When you lie down. Oh. What is the last thing you're taking in before you go to bed? Are you reading the news? Are you getting caught up on what happened during the day? It says here, no. When you lay down in your bed, the last thing your eyes need to get is the word of God. So that what? Peace can flow from heaven. Peace, the peace of God, which surpass all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. Sometimes you are also afraid. You're also scared. You have to get the word of God in you when you go to bed. Don't take your phone to bed. Don't take your phone to bed and scroll on Facebook, scroll on Instagram and get your soul corrupted looking how other people are living and how bad you are living. And you're saying, oh my God, I wish I could go here. I wish I could do this. I wish I can do that. When you're supposed to be meditating on the goodness of God. Meditating on what God is about to do in your life. And what the Holy Spirit wants to do in this moment with you. But you are what? Busy. And you're caught up with every other thing. He said, no, when you lay down in your bed. And then when you rise. The word of God is for every season of our life. Every moment we could fit the word of God into our calendar and into our agenda. When you lay down, go with the word. Look here now. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. Put on a bracelet with the word. Put on a bracelet. You know, God was radical here because he's saying, I know what you guys are going to do. When you go into the land, you're going to forget. So put a reminder on your hand. You know, people have these nice little things like Jesus and love and right? You gotta put something on your hand that when you look at it, it's gonna remind you. Look at that. She got her cross on her hand. It is a reminder of God and what God is doing, what God has done, and what he's gonna do. It's a reminder of the promise. Bind it on your hand. Oh my God, they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. I don't too sure what frontlets are, but okay, whatever for you, put it on your forehead or something. That's kind of different, right? You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. So when you go into your house, get a plaque, put it on your house. Put something on the walls of your house that you can see the word of God. Don't let the word of God be rare in your life. Let the word of God be always in front of you as a reminder. Because, oh, how quickly we forget. Because you know how much we forget? Let me help you. If I ask you what I preach, well, I didn't preach last week, but the week before, nobody remembers. Because there are no reminders. Even in business, you know, I got to put stuff on my calendar or else I'm going to what? Forget. I said, what? I'm going to forget. When I was in Jamaica a couple weeks ago, I had a job and I didn't make a note of it. Then the guy called me when the job was due at 9 a.m. and it was supposed to go to Connecticut. And he says, where's the driver? What time he's going to deliver? And I go, oops. Because what? I did not make a reminder to remember that I had a job that was due at a specific time. Because we get caught up. But we have to do things that will keep us on course. Say, do things that will keep us on course. We have to be intentional when it comes to the word of God. Be intentional. Make a pledge in your life that you're not going to read nothing before you read the word of God. Yeah. Have your phone or have your Bible next to your bed and grab it in the morning and just read a scripture. If it's one scripture, put the word of God first. Put the word of God as a what? A priority in your life that you will have what? Good success. And you're going to be prosperous and you're going to multiply on every side. Let there be a system that will push you towards prosperity. So back to 1 Samuel 3. It says, now the boy Samuel ministered before Eli. And the word of the Lord was what? The word of the Lord was rare. So that means there was not proper multiplication. They were not prospering. They were in a desolate place. How? Spiritually. Now let's look at the result of this. What happened? Now Eli was old. Let me paint this picture here for you. Eli was old and Eli had two sons. Eli had two sons, Phinehas and Hophni. Now these guys were running the show. Let's look what it says. Chapter 2 verse 12. It says, the sons of Eli, they were what? Corrupt. They were what? They were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. They were corrupt. Whenever God or the word of God is not present, we are going to become unprincipled. We're going to become corrupt because there is no standard. We're going to do things whose way? Our way. And whenever you do things your way, you better believe you're doing it the devil's way. Whenever you do things your way, you are actually doing it whose way? The devil's way. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not what? Sin against you. But if the word of God is not in your heart, what are you going to do? You're going to sin against God. So here we see the sons of Eli, they were very corrupt. They were doing things their way. Let's read verse 13. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand. Three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. And the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give me the meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. And if the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desire. He would then answer, no, but you must give it when? Now. And if not, I will take it by force. Therefore, the sin of the young men were what? Very great before God, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Meaning they disrespect the offering of God. So the people will come to worship and they will bring their sacrifice to be burnt on the altar. Now the fat would burn unto God as a sweet smelling aroma. You know, that's why we say, let the fire in my altar never burn out. Let my praises be incense unto you. So that the fat of the animal would be incense unto God. I think it's Leviticus 3:16. But what these boys would do, when people's sacrifice is on the altar, they would send an assistant and say, go and tell whoever's presenting the sacrifice, I need food. They did not respect the things of God. They were not reverent. They did not have holy awe. Because what? The word of God was rare. The instruction of God was rare in their time. So they themselves were not corrupt, but they were the standard bearers. They were the standard bearers in the house of God. They were the people that Israel was coming to access God. I want to tell you, if we're not going to read the word of God and we're not going to study the word of God, we ourselves can become corrupt. Leaders can become corrupt when we forget the word of God. And to spend time and to meditate on it, we got to be so careful, church. We got to be so careful because what? Generations depend on us. I said generations depend on us. So these men, they were what? Corrupt. They were not reverent to God. They were doing it. They became unprincipled. They became worthless. They were dishonorable men. My God. Oh, Jesus. They were carnal men. They did not care about God getting the worship. All they were worried about, their bellies being filled. All they were worried about, their needs being satisfied. When the Bible said, let all the glory be to God. We have to love God to make sure God gets the first. I said, we have to love God so much to make sure God gets the what? First. Let him get his worship first. Because when we obey him and we worship him, he said what? I will take care of your needs according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. My God. But we have to be mindful not to disrespect God, but let God get his glory first. Sin will increase. Sin will increase. Let's go over to verse 17. He said, therefore the sin of the young men was what? Very great. Whenever the word of God is absent, sin will increase. Look in our world today. Man with man. Women with women. You know why? Because they have not, nobody sat them down and says, like the word says, the boy Samuel. Samuel was a what? Boy. What was he? Boy. The man was a boy. The man was a boy first, then he became a man. We got to teach our young boys, you are boys, because the Bible says he made them what? Male and female. But if you don't teach the children, they go to the school tells them anything is anything, everything is everything. And you can be whatever you want to be, when you want, and you don't even have to tell mommy you're transitioning or tell daddy you're transitioning. You know why? There's an absence of the word. Don't blame the school. Blame yourself. We all want to blame school. We want to blame politicians. No, blame yourself. Because you didn't tuck the word of God in your children's heart. You never caught your grandkids and said, come, let me tell you about Jesus. You're only giving them money and pom-pom and every good, nice, fancy thing and phone to go and watch and so people could teach them the wrong thing. Give them tablets so they can access stupidness online. Let me help somebody tonight. Today, rather. Let me help you. Let me help somebody online. Not these people in the church. These people are so good. But if there's an absence of God's word, sin will increase. Well, oh my God. When I was little, there used to be a man that used to come to our church and he would sing a song. If we forget God, Satan will rule and sin will cover the land and the sea. Are we seeing that today? I went to Times Square Friday night after church. And mighty God, the amount of ridiculousness I saw there. It's like the world's crazies collide. Drug addict. Homosexuals. All the sickos are out there. It's like a conversion of crazy. I'm telling you, it was like so eye-opening to let us know what is happening in the world. People are so lost. Everybody's lighting up this weed and lighting up that. God knows what they're taking in into their bodies. But they go there because it's like a central point where you're free. It's like you go away from home to the city because guess what? Poor people don't really live in the city. It's only rich people that live in the city. Isn't that true? Or people got some money live in the city. So your kids leave your home and they go down to the city. It's like the prodigal son. He said, I'm going away from home. I'm following some friends and we're going to go to the city and have a good time. Be careful when your children are saying, I'm going to hang out with my friends. Say, who are these friends? Do these friends go to church? Do they hold God's word in high esteem? Because guess what? They're going to go out, get messed up, and come back as your project. Because when the devil grabbed them, let me help you. Somebody put something in the thing they drink, make them trip out. Somebody lays something they smoke, make them trip. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. For the adversary is like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Don't get caught up. The devil don't like your kids. He wants to destroy them. But it's up to you to give them the word of God that will preserve them and keep them. And oh God, keep their hearts and their feet stable. I'm not trying to make you scared. I want to put holy awe in you. I want you to observe. He said, the word I'm giving to you is to observe. When you sleep, you take it with you. When you wake up, you take it. Some of you are taking all kind of anxiety pills. You need to take this word. I say you need to take this word. You don't need Zantac and what the next one called? Some of the old time people like Prozac, not Zantac. Zantac is for boy in stomach. Take your Zantac. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend you, Zantac lovers. Prozac. What's the next one? What them ladies like? Valium. Thank you. Cause it make you feel settle you, relax you. But if you get the word of God. And you chew the word of God. And when you're feeling anxious, you lay on your face and you cry out to God and you spend time in his presence. I want to tell you, there's no side effects. You don't have to worry about side effects. Oh my God, but you go from faith to faith and you go from glory to glory. You go from faith to faith and you go from glory to glory. So get into the word of God and watch your life transform. Watch your family transform. Oh my God, I think we're on a project here. Amen. I said, I think we're on a project. Amen. These boys were so terrible. You know what they would do? In verse 22, it says, they would sleep with the women that come to sacrifice. People are coming to, and that thing, that happened in churches today. What are we worrying about back then? In churches today, you're saying, not kids, let's leave the kids. The grown ladies go to the church, and they're sleeping around with people in the church. I pray those things will never be named among us. I said, I pray those things will never be named among us. If you want to marry somebody, let's talk about it. Marry the person. People are sleeping with their leaders. Pastors. Hey, pastors. Pastors. People like me. Not Pastor Sam. But pastors that stand before God's holy pulpit. They stand before the holy desk and doing all kinds of things with people. Read it, verse 22. It says, now Eli was very old and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel. and how they laid with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You think they were coming to meet man? No. They were expecting to encounter God. But these boys took advantage of them. And the spirit still reigns. But when you get into the word of God and you know that that is contrary to what God expects, when somebody offers that to you, say, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. You got to get strong, church. Hello? You got to get strong. You got to know. The Bible says, who the people that know their God, how they're going to be strong. The people that know their God, they're going to what? Be strong. What are they going to be? And as a result, they're going to do great and mighty things for God. Amen? But there is a result of this. If you're going to live this way, the Bible says, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And that corruption means death. If you sow to the flesh or the longings of this body and you do not submit this body to God, the result will be death. But if you obey the word of God, what will come? Life, and life more abundantly. Let me share this last one with you. Hallelujah. Are you getting something today?
Yes.
I say, are you getting something?
Yes.
Verse 27. Let's go down to chapter 2, 27. And it says, then a man of God came to Eli. Oh my God. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your fathers when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him over all the tribe of Israel to be my priest, to offer up incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give the house of your fathers and offerings of all the people of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick, my God, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering? Why do you take advantage? Why do you take them lightly? Why do you do things your own way? Why do you kick my offering? Meaning, you're not treating it with value. Why do you kick my offerings and my sacrifices? Verse 29, why do you... which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourself fat with the best of all the offerings. So he's saying to Eli, what you have done, you have ignored my standards and have allowed your sons to behave the way they want to behave and to put up with it instead of removing them. Why do you think we remove people in church? When people want to do things their way, we got to remove you. You got to do things the way the Lord is leading and the standards. You got to uphold the standards of God. It's not that we don't like you. It's just that if we allow you to do this, you're going to destroy others with you.
Yes.
So if we say you're going wrong, because if we don't do it, God's going to deal with me. Let me not say we. Let me say me. If I don't do it, no talking now, listen to me, or you're going to miss it. I said, if I don't do it, God is going to deal with me. And I know it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And I'm not willing to go down that road. I'm going to do exactly what God tells me to do. Because he says to Eli, you prefer me, rather your sons, more than me. I want to tell you, if my children decide to do things their way and not what God says, we're going to have that talk with them too. Because nobody is going to stand between me and God. I said, nobody is going to stand between me and God. And that's the problem. Sometimes we see our children going the wrong way, but we don't want to tell them they're going wrong. Because we want them to be our friend. Hello? You want your kids to be your friend? You got an issue in your head. God call you what? Parent. What did he call you? What did he call you?
Parent.
He didn't call you buddy.
No.
He said he called you father and he called you mother. They are to honor you whether they like you or they don't.
Amen.
I'm not saying you got to be bad parents now. But you don't let your kids rule you. Listen to me, children. Watch me, kids. You don't rule your parents.
Amen.
You listen to them. When they talk to you, you be quiet and you make moves. Is that clear? I said, when they talk to you and they give you an instruction, when they touch you and they say you're going wrong, you straighten yourself up.
Because that's how it will be well with you. That's how you're going to have long life. That's how you're going to be blessed in the land. Who wants to be blessed?
Amen.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Whenever it's cutting, you could either distract yourself or receive your cutting. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It said, therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I shall indeed take your house and the house of your fathers. Your father would walk before. No, I'm reading wrong. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me. Wow. Forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. You see what happens? You got to uphold your side of the bargain. This thing is a two-way street. God has an expectation of every one of us. It's to obey his word. The Bible said the whole duty of man is to fear God. What? To do what? And keep his commandment. Hold God in high esteem and admiration. And know that he is holy, and he is the one that is the only one that could destroy the soul and the body. So we have to hold God in high esteem. So we have a part to play. Amen? He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. If I'm your daddy and I'm holy, you better be holy also. So he says here to Eli, this is the man of God, the prophet of God coming to him. And he said, therefore the God of Israel says, I indeed that your house and your fathers would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. Meaning God is cutting Eli off. God is cutting the house of Eli off because he refused to obey God. He refused to correct his children. He refused to instruct them in the way. Don't think that you can be disinherited. Oh, Jesus. Some of us think that God has to do everything we want him to do. But if you don't hold your side up. I said, if you don't hold your side up, you could might as well cancel your expectation. Because God is not going to bless you in a mess. Remember when the prodigal left home, what happened? He was eating pig food. God didn't went there and say, oh, my prodigal son, I love you so much. You live with prostitutes. You waste the money. You party hard. Oh, and I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make sure you're comfortable. And I'm going to make sure you're happy. And I'm going to supply all your needs according to your riches and glory. No. He said, eat pig food. You want to go dabble in the mud? This is what you get. You want to get messy? This is what you get. Listen to me. Let us walk upright before God. Amen. Let's live according to the word of God. It says, now far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will what? I will. Those who honor me, I will what? Those who honor me, I will. Those who honor me, I will what? I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So if you're going to do things your way, you're going to forget the word of God, and you're going to refuse to obey, you're going to be stubborn, you can expect light esteem. Meaning you're going to still receive common grace, but you're not going to get the blessing. You're not going to get the blessing. You're not going to eat the good of the land. You're going to get the least. Amen? And you will see. Oh my God. Behold, the days are coming, rather, 31, that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house so that there will not be an old man in your house. And you will see an enemy in my dwelling place despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house. How? Forever. Verse 34. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. Why? Because the word of God was not their standard bearer. As a result, they received judgment and not blessing. Today the world tells us, do it your way, do it how you feel, live how you like, come when you want, go when you want, do whatever you want, it's your way. But today God is saying, I have a way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You go over to the next chapters down, they went and they fought. They went and they fought against the Philistine. And when they fought, they lost the battle. Both of his sons died. Why? Because the word of God was rare. I want to tell you today, church, it is time for us to make the word of God plentiful. Let the word of God be bountiful. Let the word of God be when we walk, we talk the word of God. When we sit down, we have conversations about the word of God so that God can trust us. And God said, these are people that will teach their children about me and that they will love and serve me all my life. I want to tell you today, let us prosper in truth. Because if you prosper the world's way, it will lead to destruction. Phineas and Hophni, when they were going and grabbing the meat, guess what? Everything was feeling good. They were satisfying themselves and they were having a party. When they were sleeping with the women that were coming, oh, they were feeling good. But what? It led to what? Their demise and their destruction. Let's all stand.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged your hearts. We also want to say a special thank you to our faithful givers and partners. It's because of your generosity that the vision moves forward. If you would like to partner with us, please visit faithchurch.life/give. On Sundays, we have our Sunday services at 10 a.m. live on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. So join us there. Don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss another sermon again. I'm Emily. Let's faith it forward.